Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Dave, you were saying something about changing beliefs. Now,
yes.
As an example, you were saying that if Cadbury's chocolate, which we know comes in a blue wrapper, right?
Yeah.
We're not endorsing or promoting anything here. But and you were saying that if somebody said, no, it doesn't, it comes in a green wrapper, it's possible for you to change your beliefs.
Yeah,
in a thing like that.
Very, very easily. But beliefs come in a wide range of durability, you know? Because what's essential about our belief is that it's something to do with what we hold to be normal. So if normal for us is that Cadbury's comes in a yellow wrapper, it's not a critical thing whether it comes in a blue wrapper or a green wrapper.
We're not emotionally involved, that's what you're saying, is it?
Well, where beliefs become very difficult to change is where there is an emotional involvement, and especially difficult to change is where there's a negative emotional involvement.
Right.
So beliefs that involve a great deal of fear or a great deal of rejection or a great deal of anger, are beliefs that are very difficult to change. Very difficult to change.
Right.
And I think sometimes we take a simplistic view in Christian circles that we can change our beliefs like we change our socks.
Mm.
You know, that we find the truth in the Word of God and we can just replace one belief with the other belief.
Not realizing how deeply emotional some scarred people are on certain matters.
How deeply emotionally scarred we are.
We are. They are. We are. It's always them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never us.
But because we hold these beliefs as our view of normality, then we don't even know that they're beliefs.
Yeah.
So we're not like taking the truth of the word and ferreting out some belief in our head and holding it up against the Word of God and saying, now, belief, you are overcome by the Word of God. So I banish you, I cast you out.
Yeah.
And the Word of God is now my belief.
Hmm.
Because we don't even know that they're there.
Right.
We think we are normal.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And so if we just take the Word of God and say, now I apply that to my life, then we end up effectively with two sets of beliefs inside. An intellectual set of beliefs, which we have taken from the Word of God.
Our Sunday morning beliefs.
Yeah. Well,
and our rest of the week beliefs.
Well, in fact, a set of beliefs that occupies the prefrontal lobe of our brain.
Yeah, this is scientific, isn't it?
Well, I mean... It's becoming... There's a lot more
people
evidence.
Are able to map some of this now with the technology.
Well, that's right, yeah, with these PET scans.
Yeah.
Positron emission tomography.
Sounds cool, yeah.
It sounds really good. I wish I had one of those myself.
Tomographer at home.
But
beside your blender.
It allows researchers to trace the
wiring of the brain and the electric carry-on.
Pulses of electricity
through
all the different parts of the brain. They're learning so much about how the brain actually functions.
And different parts of the brain do different things, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. And these intellectual beliefs, be they of a spiritual nature or not, they still, for the time being, when we first adopt them, are intellectual beliefs. And then we also have this other set of beliefs, which are emotional beliefs.
Where's the intellectual bit? Is that in your front of your brain or something?
Well, that's what they seem to think, yeah.
Is that why the scientists have big foreheads?
Big foreheads. Well, apparently that doesn't really help all that much.
Anyway, sorry if you're a scientist out there with a big forehead.
And just the bad news to know that if you have a big forehead, it's probably not doing you a whole lot of extra good anyway.
Right, yeah.
But anyway...
But the heart comes into it. Now, that's like, is there a part of the brain that's kind of wired different, an older part? Or not an older part, but a...
Well, they have this...
They call it the
brainstem.
Brainstem, right.
Yeah. They call that the primitive brain, coming out of the idea that it evolved earlier than the more complicated.
I'd love
Well, the so-called more complicated. Why they think intellect is more advanced than emotion? I don't really understand that. Why should you think that?
Only an intellectual would say that.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
But so anyway,
it's like the guy, scientist, who said there is no God, and if ever you discover him, it'll be us.
But
it's a bit like on the Star Trek now. There's a new Star Trek film out, and I used to love Star Trek as a kid, but there's always this great conflict between Spock and Kirk, and Spock would make logical decisions, always based on logic, and Kirk would make decisions with his heart.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So it was like the different parts of the brain are being used here.
I think one of the very appealing things about Star Trek was the exploration of the conflict between heart and head, or the interaction between heart and head.
Yeah.
Because they were always churning that stuff out.
Yeah.
And people really engage with that because it's something that we're very affected by.
Mm.
And we would love to think that we're all heart, you know, but the kind of heart that Kirk portrayed was the positive heart.
Mm.
But the conflict that we have is with these negative emotions that come from experience.
So what's the answer, Dave? Just for example, if somebody's had a bad experience in the past, you know, and it colours future things, trigger off the same response, you know, like you know, if something's come up, you know, they instinctively are saying react negatively,
right,
or recoil or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, are they stuck with that forevermore?
No.
Right,
no.
Come on. How do we get out of this hole?
Well, the amazing thing is that Jesus gave us very practical, real life answers to our emotions. For example, I'd name one would be anger.
Right.
Now, Jesus wasn't into anger management. Jesus had the answer.
Hang on, what is anger management? Go buy a punch bag, is it?
Well, there are various different techniques. The important thing about anger management is it doesn't really work.
Right, yeah.
But Jesus gave us the answer to anger that does work, and that is forgiveness.
Mm.
Because if you have forgiven somebody of the wrong that they have done you, if you have forgiven them,
you're not violent towards them,
then it's gone.
Yeah.
So actually, forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you. It sets you free from what they did.
Yeah.
And
you heard the great saying that unforgiveness and bitterness, it's like swallowing poison and expecting your enemy to die.
Yeah. Yeah. And
does twist people in an unreal way. Bitterness. I've seen it.
But like first shot out of the bag, it can be very difficult to accept.
I've done it.
But it can be very difficult to accept that, you know, we can be freed from anger and the effects of anger by forgiving, because, you know, some people have been terribly, terribly hurt. And, you know, I don't want to say that in a light kind of way, or, you know, to make light of it. And it can be very difficult to do it. But nonetheless, that is the way to freedom from anger, and that changes the old belief, that permits change for the old belief and makes room for biblical belief to flow in.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine, and she's a counselor. She does post-abortion counseling, and one of the things is she brings people through a series of steps. It doesn't happen overnight; it takes time. But it's ultimately to forgive themselves, you know, it's a big thing. And she can only do it through Jesus, because people cannot truly forgive themselves without an understanding of the cross and the fact that we are forgiven by God himself.
Mm.
You know, there's provision there for that. But it's fascinating just to hear her talk a little bit about this, you know, that people... So many people that have all sorts of outward emotions and problems and things, and it's down to a thing about unforgiveness towards themselves,
yeah,
you know, or others, of course, all by extension.
Yeah.
But you know, the answer is we can be forgiven.
Yes.
I just love that story about the guy who was forgiven a great debt, and by the king. Jesus gave it as a parable. Yes. This guy, here's the amazing thing, Dave. Do you know what he asked for when he went to the king? He didn't ask for forgiveness. He asked for time.
Oh, right.
He had a debt. Yes. And it was like he wanted a short-term loan turned into a mortgage. So he asked the king to take a bit of pressure off him. It's a bit like Ireland going to the EU now. Instead of the short-term loan, they've got a mortgage. It takes a bit of pressure off.
Yeah.
So I hope, we all hope it's the first step of forgiveness, that someday this thing will be forgiven. But anyway, that said, the king forgave him all, everything. You know. But then, of course, on the way home, didn't he find the guy who owed him a few bob, and he grabbed him by the throat and said, cough it up, pay me now. And the king heard about this and was quite displeased and put him into prison where there was tormentors. So I think it was prophetic too about the torment that is in unforgiveness.
Yes.
You know, people who are unforgiving are, you know, are tormented people. Yeah. But there's good news, of course. There's a way out of all this.
There's a way out of all this.
Yeah.
If you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a way out of it, but it's also a way that permits us to be able to have as reality these new beliefs that come from the Word. And they get cemented into our lives through experience. You see, because, you know, you can believe the moon is blue cheese.
It is, Dave. I'm only kidding.
Is it?
Go on. I haven't been there.
You can believe that.
Yeah, sure.
But unless you actually go and scrape up a bit and sample it on your cracker, you'll never really know.
Sure.
But if you do go and scrape up a bit on your cracker and sample it, and you come back to Earth and say, yes, the moon is blue cheese, everybody. And somebody says, no, no, it's not. Nobody can persuade you that it's not, because you've experienced it.
Right.
See, so things become ours because we experience them.
Right.
And these beliefs of the Word of God become ours as we begin to experience them.
Mm.
Until we experience them, they're only in our head.
Right.
Now, you know, we own them in our head, but that's a different thing to our experience.
Right.
They become cemented into our lives through experience.
Yeah, right.
Yeah?
So, but then there is, I often think about this, the Father, our Father in heaven, you know, we need to trust our Father on the basis of what he tells us. As a child, you don't understand everything, okay? There's a whole load you don't understand.
Yes.
And your parent, in a normal, loving relationship, will ask you to do something.
Yes.
And a normal response is to just obey them and do it.
Yeah.
Without understanding it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a three-year-old putting his hand in his hips and saying to his father or mother, you know, well, I don't understand that fully, so I'm not going to do it because I don't understand it. You know,
right.
That's just absurd.
Yeah.
You know, and yet as we grow older, we tend to act like that. Or, you know, your average person acts like that. They say, oh, I'm not doing that because I don't understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
We certainly put greater emphasis, I believe, in the Western world, in Ireland, on the mind, on science and all these things, you know, more than the spiritual and on the heart and on, you know, that's really my conviction. We deify the mind, we really do.
Well,
in the wrong way.
Not so much the mind, but the intellect, I suppose.
The intellect,
yes. Yeah, well, definitely. I mean,
Professing to be wise, they became fools.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we come from, we're still stuck somewhere. Well, the rest of the world has moved on to, you know, post-rational world. You know, we're still right there in the rational world.
Yeah, anyway. So, gosh, Dave, I mean, to talk about the science of forgiveness, it's really fascinating, isn't it?
Wow.
You know,
yeah, that's an amazing phrase. I love that.
Yeah, because we're up on my science, but to God, we are part of God's creation, and the absolute awesomeness of what God made is stunning. And the amazing thing is all the founders of modern science, you know, Newton and Kepler and all these guys, Faraday, they were Bible believing Christians. They had a fear of God, and they knew that God made this world, and they were encouraged and motivated to explore God's creation.
Mm.
That's why they discover such amazing things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not because they believed there were a load of meaningless mud and slime going around who accidentally just came to life. You know, that wouldn't be a motivation to go and look for order and pattern and creativity.
Mm.
Not at all, you know.
Mm.
Because if evolution's true, you'd expect to find some kind of a gloopy, useless slime at the bottom of the bucket, you know,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
the kind of basic building block of life. But yet it's more fascinating the deeper you go.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
it's more stunning.
And
the fact, I think I said this on one of the earlier broadcasts, was that 10% of the cells in your body are human.
Mm.
90% microbes. There's a whole right. organisms going on in there. There's worlds within worlds going on inside of you.
I tell you who's done a lot of stuff on the whole science of faith. A lady called Caroline Leaf.
Right.
Wrote a book, something about Who Turned Off My Brain or something.
Right, but Caroline Leaf.
That's been recommended to me too. I haven't got it yet, but I would really...
Yeah,
really
well, do you know, we should worship the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
You know, so when God's given you an intellect, you know, it's good to read up some of these things, you know,
yes.
and educate yourself in the right direction.
Yes.
So, again, we've gone over our time, Dave.
Right.
So we've a habit of doing this. So because we're not restricted by some news coming up at the top of the hour, we do this. But thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Pilgrim Talk, and this is Anthony Brabazon,
David O'Rourke,
and we're saying goodbye, and God bless you.
God bless you all.